meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
This is the Winds of Change Pledge Drive. Help us stay on the air by making your donation now to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely. Your contribution to Winds of Change will be a blessing. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Hi, Tony. Hi, Christina.
Hey. Father. Hi, Father. Welcome back.
Hi, Nick, over
long
there.
Long time no see.
I know. Seems like it. So, yeah, you know, as we said, I think Friday, and by the way, happy Mother's Day, because mm-hmm. I don't feel like we did justice to mothers, and I want to do that today. Mm-hmm. It's a little belated, but this is a month of Mary. This is the month of May. It's the month of the Mother of God.
So in
and
way,
all mothers.
Every day is Mother's Day.
Every day is Mother's Day, exactly. So we will talk about mothers, mm-hmm. you know. They deserve it. They need to be talked about. But just very briefly, again, if I can just emphasize, a dollar a month, if every listener would be so kind, so generous, and donate $1, that's all I'm asking. So that's $12 a year.
Mm-hmm. Just
every listener, okay. If every listener would contribute $12 a year, $1 a month, we can stay on the air.
It's about right.
That seems pretty doable, doesn't it?
I think so.
Very much.
Really, I mean, just gather your change, right?
Mm-hmm.
$1 a month, that means every listener that would cover us. It's amazing when you think about it that way, right?
It's not. How much?
Well, let's say more than a dollar, because you got to pay for the
tax.
No tax, but the stamp.
You look at it, yeah.
What is a stamp? 35 cents?
Yeah.
How much? I don't know.
I have no idea. Anyway.
40, 50,
what's a stamp?
So let's just say $1.35 a month.
Right.
That's all. It's doable.
It is.
Yeah.
It's not for what we waste money on.
No, because we do. We want to stay on the air.
Sure, of course.
So.
Right.
But we do. We are in a difficult situation, you know. So it's okay. $1. That's it. $1 a listener, or you can save the stamp money and just drop it by.
That's what I was thinking.
Christina's office.
Yeah, just come see Christina.
Yeah,
just bring it. Bring
okay.
It.
Anyway, so
bring it.
Bring it. Speaking of Mother's Day, we just got the news this morning. So sad that we're going to have the funeral of the two children who died in the fire. That was actually in Humboldt Park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
There were a couple of fires. I was speaking with Roman, one of the workers.
Oh, really?
He asked me something. I said, oh, this happened. He said, oh, yeah, there were a couple of fires.
Yeah, this.
He saw it on the news. Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out, because we're right now trying to coordinate things.
Sure. for the call.
But a nine-year-old and a 3-year-old in Humboldt Park.
Wow.
That was about a week ago.
It was a week ago.
On the 9th, I think. Oh, okay. What's today's? Well, last week. It was last week.
It was last weekend, yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I have to call them back.
That's heavy, you know. It really
tragic.
Is. Anyway, so we've been, you know, I've been through that. We had a, The mother survived. She was at work, lost five children, all her children, and her husband, and every memory she had in a fire. I've mentioned this before, and I was, this was probably about 15 years, no, more than that, maybe about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. About 20 years ago. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, how time flies.
Probably about 18 years ago, 18, 19 years ago, 17, 18, whatever. But she, I was bringing the secretary, not Christina, but God rest her soul, Rose Pastanowicz. I was bringing her to work. She was in her 80s, right, I think, at the time?
She was. Yes.
So I would pick her up and take her home. Mm-hmm. She lived in the Avondale area. Mm-hmm. And one morning I was bringing her to work, and on the radio there was this, the news, they mentioned about this five children who died in a fire in Cicero. And that's all I needed to hear, and I shut the radio off. I couldn't, it was just too much. Mm-hmm. And I knew, by the grace of the Spirit, I guess, the Holy Spirit, but all day, I couldn't get it out of my mind, and all day I knew somehow I would be drawn into this. I had no connection to Cicero. I didn't even hear the name of the family, mm-hmm. nothing. I just heard that five children died in a fire. And when you know it, that evening, I'm with preparing a couple for marriage, and received a call. And see, at that time, we had the phones in the offices and the parlors and all that. And I picked up the call, picked up the phone, and it was a former parishioner from the other parish I was at before. And it was her stepdaughter whose children had died. And so the next day, I was in the home, and then, of course, we had the funeral for the mm-hmm. five children, but we didn't bury them because we were going to wait until the husband was out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. But would you know it, the day after the children, after the funeral, he died unexpectedly.
Wow.
Unexpectedly in the hospital. And so we had his funeral and then went to the cemetery and the five coffins with the father. Mm-hmm. I'll never, ever, ever get out of my mind the face of the mother, that mother and wife, you know. But people survive, and this is the thing that I guess the older I get, the more I realize, you know, this is the reality is people do survive. If they just can keep faith, you know, and Jesus said, even if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it'll move a mountain. But we also had the fire here on Ashland. This was even before that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you remember? You were working here at the time, were you? I don't know.
I was already here.
And there too, I was getting ready to leave for Thanksgiving. I was going to going to go to Ohio for the first time to visit my cousins. They invited me. I was an associate. I wasn't the pastor at the time, and so I was in the office and had just finished everything, had everything packed. I was ready to go. I was going to be gone for 4 days through the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Mm-hmm. I was leaving. It was a Wednesday, and got a call from somebody who said there's been a fire in your neighborhood and they've taken the victims to St. Mary's. So I went there, and this was a mother and three or four children, I don't remember now, but the father was bringing the younger son home from school, and as they opened the door to the house, the mother was coming. The boy was coming home from school. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but the point was that the mattress caught fire in the apartment, and the father was there because he was bringing the mattress was on fire, bringing it down the stairwell, and I believe the son opened the door, and it caused a backdraft. And the mother was standing at the top of the stairs, and all the other children were inside the apartment. Mm-hmm. And so the flames, they went up the stairwell into the apartment. So the father and the son were okay, but that was a horrible tragedy as well, you know. But they survive, you know. People survive, you know. It's amazing. It's at the time you can't even imagine how. In the case of Colleen, her name was Colleen, the woman who lost her 5 children, and her husband and all her memories, her home, everything, and that was vandalism, by the way.
Wow,
that was vandalism. Somebody had tried to steal, because this was during the night. She was coming home. She worked during the night, so she was coming home. In the morning, she came home, and the whole place was in flames. And but some people had tried to steal from the to get in from the back, and they couldn't get in, and so they started a fire at the back of the house. Anyway, tragedy.
Yes.
Well, such is life, right? You don't like to hear that. You don't like to even get close. This is that kind of pain. You don't want to even come close to that kind of pain, because it is, and what do you say, right? Yeah. What do you say? Well, the bottom line is, what the world takes away, God gives back. And that's our consolation. That's what softens the pain. But in any case, but with that, talk about, the suffering heart of a mother, right? Motherhood. The fact that it came on the feast of the Ascension was kind of interesting, because I was reflecting on this, right? And the Ascension, this is when Jesus, we celebrated that on, well, last Thursday, but on Sunday as well. And the Ascension is the end of the 40 days. So Jesus, after the resurrection, he appears for 40 days off and on to the disciples, and he's teaching them about, preparing them for the mission that he would entrust to them. He would empower them, which is already, you know, so from Ascension to Pentecost, because there's this 9-day prayerful preparation for the gift of the Spirit, which would empower the church and compel the disciples to begin the mission to go to all the four corners of the world, to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach or preach repentance of sin. That was the mission. And so it's fascinating to see the transformation, just from a biblical point of view. We see them, the apostles in the Gospels, Peter and James and John and all the others. And especially in the case of John and Peter, because Paul comes in later, he comes into the picture later, he wasn't there, but after Pentecost, after they've been given the Spirit, they're transformed. They carry an authority that is quite evident. I mean, they are absolutely living in the person of Christ Jesus. Jesus is living in them. They are speaking with his authority. They are performing signs and wonders by the power and the grace of the Spirit. But the transformation is astounding. We hear that in the words of Peter himself, in the Acts of the Apostles, and in his letters, and John as well. John wrote the Gospel and some epistles as well, and so he's got this... In the case of John, it's not just an authority, but it's this profound mysticism so deep as he tries to convey, I shouldn't say try, because he does indeed convey the mysteries of the faith, a God who came, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He just connects all the dots, and he delves into the Old Testament, and he brings us deep into the mystery that Jesus is, in such a beautiful way. But the point of all this is, I guess, as we're talking about the Ascension and how does this relate to motherhood, I'll mention that in a moment. It really, the Ascension and Pentecost, because the Ascension was the long-awaited, the anticipated return of Jesus to the Father. In fact, that's one of the readings today, is in his farewell discourse, in his high priestly prayer, he's anticipating this return of the Father. So he was in the exile as well when he took on flesh. So for 33 years, God was with us in a visible way in the weakness of flesh. And I may have spoken about this last week, but when we say the weakness of the flesh, we don't mean to say that he was fully human and fully divine. But the fact that he was in the flesh for 33 years, his humanity, the flesh, imposed certain limitations on his divinity. So indeed, he suffered. He had a heavy heart. He had anguish, anxiety, sadness, joy as well, and all that. But he had to suffer. He freely gave himself into the face of evil. He who didn't sin, he took sin to himself. He became sin, as Scripture says. All this really happens in a very powerful way in Gethsemane in the garden, when he sweats blood, when he utters his ultimate or definitive fiat, his yes to fulfill the will of the Father, which is that he would offer his life in expiation, in atonement for sin. But that was so visibly for 33 years, in a public way, only 3 years in his public mission, as he gathered the disciples and as he taught them, he performed signs, miracles. He was the fulfillment of all prophecies, the fulfillment of the law. But so there's those 33 years in the weakness of flesh. But then after the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and the resurrection of Jesus, there's this additional 44 days when he's in the glory in his glorified body. So he's in the glory of the flesh, and it's there that he's preaching the kingdom, preparing them for this the gift of the Spirit, and this was necessary that he would appear resurrected and glorified in the flesh to instill confidence in the disciples and in all of us, that that death is not the end. If we remain in the grace of God in friendship with God, we're destined then to the best is yet to come. I think we did speak about this a little bit last week.
A little bit,
yeah. So, but in any case, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and the church, as the Scriptures clearly state. There was this, with Pentecost, which we celebrate this coming Sunday, there was this, Peter, in preaching, I think there were 4,000 or 5,000 who were converted and were baptized. That's a what you call a mass conversion, We need something like that today,
yes.
All right?
Yes.
We need some kind of a reawakening, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but it was quite fantastic, the signs and the wonders and the power that was manifested, really basically to kickstart the mission of the church, because and I say kickstart because very soon she's going to have to, when I say she, the church, Mother Church, will enter into this this period of persecution, which endures to the present day. Her faith is going to be tested and tried in a wide variety of ways, from without as well as from within. And it's by the grace of the Spirit that she continues to persevere. But but anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. And how does that tie into motherhood? Did we talk about this last week? Not about the mother part of it.
No.
Motherhood. I think we talked about that part of it. So, all right, everybody, don't go away. We will be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others. Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, to support Winds of Change, you go to ststandschurch.org. That's S-T, as in Tony.
Good name.
Stands, S-T-A-N-S, church.org, and click on the radio tab to donate.
It's that easy.
Go to ststandschurch.org. Click on the radio tab to donate. A dollar. That's all I'm saying.
Just a dollar.
If everybody would donate a dollar a month, $12 a year.
That's all we need.
We'd be fine. No more than that. Okay, so motherhood. See, we call the church, I think it was more obvious or more common in the past, but we say that, you know, we speak of the church as she, Holy Mother, Holy Mother Church. Why? Because the church is a spouse to the Lord. The church, it's from the waters of baptism, or from the womb of the church that we're born, we're given life. And it's the church, like a mother, who feeds us and nourishes us through the course of our life, mothers us. It's a Holy Mother Church. But I say, as I said before the break, that we had this outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost that kickstarted the mission of the church with these powerful signs and wonders. And you wonder why we don't perhaps see such manifestation today, you know, the mass healings and conversions and the like. Well, I think it's because, let's just compare it to motherhood, right? A mother conceives her child in the joy of ecstasy, mm-hmm. and joyfully anticipates that moment in time when her child sees the light of day. It is this eager anticipation that enables the mother to endure the suffering of pregnancy and the pain of birthing her child. So very much like the signs and wonders that kickstart the church's mission, a mother, what does she do? She marvels at the miracle of new life that took its life from hers, right? Are you with me on that?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
The child is an extension of herself and a beauty to behold. I mean, anybody with a heart for such signs and wonders. You know, we see a baby, a newborn baby. It's disarming. It kindles joy and hope for the future. But the journey toward the future is endured by the arduous work of caring for the child. The mother has to feed, clean, teach, console, counsel the child, right? That's work. I mean, all you have to do is, in fact, it was interesting, Sunday afternoon in the evening mass, there was a, was it the 11:30 mass? Or it was a 10 o'clock mass.
There was the 10 o'clock
yes,
mass.
Yes, it was a 10 o'clock mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a couple of babies just crying. Yeah, yeah. Just, I mean, just...
They had some lungs there.
Yeah, really. You, so you heard it up there in the attic.
Yes,
we did. I was going to say the attic in the choir loft.
Choir loft, yeah.
We get two balconies, and so she's in Christina's. There are the choirs on the top.
The top, yes.
So they're pretty far up there.
Mm-hmm.
But the babies were, and I thought, kind of appropriate for Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was just, even during the homily, I mean, it was just.
Yes, it was pretty loud.
Pretty.
Intense.
Pretty intense.
They wanted to speak.
Well, they were speaking.
They
yes,
were speaking
for sure.
And singing.
Yeah. But do you think that brings joy to a mother's? I mean, that's a work. That's a work to get up in the middle of the night and have to take care of that baby. You know, yeah. To take care of the feed the baby, whatever. The baby may be crying all night.
Mm-hmm.
But so this is I say it's an arduous work, caring for a child, feeding, cleaning, teaching, consoling, counseling the child. Until the child is basically released to the influence of others and truly begins to exert independence, detaching from the mother. And often the influence of others brings the child to reject the mother's affections and rebel against her counsel. This is a suffering that the mother has to endure. I say child because even if her child is 15 or 25 or 35, there's that, it's always a child. It's always her child, right?
Yeah.
So that doesn't change.
Nope.
I always remember when I was, when I left home and, you know, I'm independent, I'm on my own, I'm in school, I'm in the college and I'm going to go home and didn't go home for a full year, but I go home and I'm this man now, right? But, you know, I could never shake for myself, the fact that I was still my mother's son, her child, and the same thing with my father. As much as you want to, you just can't.
No.
You know?
Even like Sunday when we took my mother out for Mother's Day, and on other occasions, my younger brother and I, we sit in the back in my father's SUV. My father's driving and my mother's in the front seat, and I feel like a child.
That's so true, isn't
and
it?
I yeah. feel great. I feel protected.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful feeling.
It is, yeah. But that is so true, you know. And that's I remember my parents as well, because when I would go home, you know, we would often we had a little house on the lake, and we would go out there, and you know, the whole family would gather. But I would, because I was with my parents, you know, they would drive. Now, I'm you know, a man, I could drive.
But
my father, you know, he wanted to drive.
Sure.
And that was, that's a generation where the women didn't drive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The man drove, and
drove,
the woman sat, you know, today it's really quite changed. It's quite different today, isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
In fact, I was coming somewhere yesterday, and I saw this gentleman. Yeah, these were probably, they're in their 20s or late 20s, maybe early 30s. But they were coming from a building near the, in the Loop area, or in the, anyway, out in the downtown, you know. And it just, you could see the reversal of roles, I guess, because she was, he was carrying a basket of clothes. She was completely in charge, you could see it. Told him where to put the clothes, you know, in the car. Because I was waiting. I was waiting because there was a train, so I was stuck. You know, it was near Kinsey,
right?
Kinsey, and I forgot the side street. So I was and this was right during rush hour. So you know, the trains were coming and going. So we were quite a long time as the trains were leaving, and so I was watching this whole drama, you know,
unfold.
But it was interesting because she was in complete control. Mm. She was in charge. I was thinking, you know, gosh, you know, back in my day, that would have been the man. She would have been the man. He would have been the it's flip flopped, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she got in, and he got into the passenger side. She got into the driver's side. But anyway, just interesting, you know. Yeah, it's interesting. But going back to what you were saying, Christine, it's true. I would think I always felt like a child in the back of my we're going to the lake or whatever, and I felt like a child. But also getting up in the morning, then my parents would be up. My room was kitty corner from the kitchen and the dining room, and I would wake up and I'd hear them talking in the around the table, and there was this sense of you're completely protected and you're safe and it should be for all children, right? Whether they're 5 or whether they're 35, right? So, but it's so true, huh?
It is.
And your parents are the old-fashioned.
Yes, very traditional.
Very traditional as well. Yes. So, but anyway, so who drives, Tony? You or Angelica?
I do.
You do?
Compromising.
Yeah. I figured you did, yeah.
Angelica does not drive.
The thing about it, though, is she knows how to drive, but I drive. So there you have it.
Well, yeah, but that's the way it is, right?
I don't think I think it's for more than reasons. Angelica's been in accidents before with other people, so I think she's a little, you know.
And you certainly don't want her to. You don't want to be that other person, right?
Well, yeah. Sometimes I do. I would like, and then it's a funny thing is the way you say it. I would prefer her to drive too sometimes because I don't always like to drive, but it works out the way it works out.
Sure.
So. Yeah, I kind of feel safer that I'm driving too because I don't like to let people drive my car.
In the case of my
mom, unless I trust you.
In the case of my mother, it was interesting because she learned how to drive. Mm-hmm. She when my father went to Vietnam, and now she's got 8 kids, right? 8 children. So my father was in Vietnam. I was 10 years old. So we were all, my sister is a year older than I am. So she's 11, I'm 10, and the rest are, there's 6 others under 10. Can you imagine when you think about it?
Yeah.
And my father went to Vietnam. My mother didn't know how to drive. So the doctor, there was a doctor in the neighborhood. He was at the military doctor. Mm-hmm. And he taught my mother how to drive. So we had a Volkswagen van. And we were in the van as he's teaching her to drive. And I remember she was backing out and backed over the mailbox, you know. But my father came back. Mm-hmm. She stopped driving until we moved. We went to Delaware. We were stationed at another Air Force base, and eventually, you know, we went back to Florida. I was in high school, and my mother took on a job you got to be the mother, so she's got to be, you know, cooking and cleaning and taking care of the kids. So she took on a job from 11 in a hospital, worked as a nurse's aide from 11 o'clock till 7 o'clock.
Wow.
So that she could be home, you know, during the day and do what she was supposed to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember just the, she was so stressed, you know, and really felt bad for her. But she did that up until... I don't know how many years it was. I was already gone when she quit, when she stopped working. But when she stopped working, she stopped driving. Completely stopped driving. So, anyway. But to go back to the... okay, we'll take a break, Nick. We'll take a break. We'll come back and continue with this. The suffering, really, so the suffering heart of a mother, which is, I think, something very unique to mothers, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And it's much like the suffering heart of the church, because the church is our mother. And of course, we have the mother of mothers, the mother of the church, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is entrusted to the church from the cross. Her son handed her over to us. Okay, we shall be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Wisdom Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish.
The church is 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stas has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stas is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stas. Save the dates for Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 10th through the 12th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And yes, we offer thanks for your donation to support Winds of Change. Go to ststanschurch.org and click on Radio Tab to donate. And all I'm asking is $1.
$1.
If everybody does their share, $1, we can stay on the radio.
You know, there is somebody that sends $1 a month.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I think from Wisconsin, isn't it? Or
I don't remember.
I'm not sure, but you're right.
They send one.
Yeah, so thank you. Thanks so much.
That is, we appreciate it. Your
thank
support.
You very much. All right. So the thing is, motherhood over a course of a lifetime, while begun in ecstasy and wonder, is a mission that calls for perseverance under the heavy demands of child rearing and the inevitable sufferings of the sword that pierces the heart. That's an image used in the presentation when Simeon, the Blessed Virgin, you know, she's a young mother just given birth to her baby, to Jesus, and she comes, this is 40 days later, she brings, in obedience to the law, together with St. Joseph, they bring the child Jesus to the temple, and Simeon the prophet, moved by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's waiting, now you can let your servant die in peace, because my eyes have seen the salvation of my people, a light to the nations. And he looked at the woman, the mother, and he says, and you, a sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare. Because Simeon says before that, now let me die in peace, for I have seen the salvation of my people. A sign that will be rejected. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm trying to remember the exact quote. I used to know it by heart. Mm-hmm. But in any case, a sign that will be rejected. And you, woman, to the mother, a sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many be laid bare. And she just ponders, as she does so often. Mm-hmm. She ponders. She reflects on what this means. Just as in the Annunciation, how can this be, since I know not man, right? But by the grace and the power of the Spirit will overshadow you, and the child you conceive will be called Son of the Most High. But in any case, that the sword that pierces the heart, because it's a prophetic statement, because at the foot of the cross, that sword pierces the heart, as she fully participates in the redemptive sufferings of her son, the sufferings that bring us redemption, redeem us, save us, the sacrifice. She fully participates intimately, deeply, fully participates in that redemption. And isn't it the case with a mother that her suffering is a participation in the redemption or the salvation of her child or her children? A mother's love is the hallmark of Christian love. It's sacrificial, in a word, and endures suffering until the child is restored at the end of all things. Mothers who suffer for their children, I mentioned on Sunday, and there's no doubt about it, most of the things I listen to, the struggles and the sufferings and the pain of life, comes from mothers. And it's not so much their own personal physical pain, but it's that they're suffering for their children. And again, it doesn't matter whether the child is 5 or whether he's 15 or whether she's 25 or whether 45 or 55. Mothers suffer for the children because the children are often wayward, they're often wandering, and they're wounded by life. And this is part of life, isn't it? I mean, I always say it's in the nature of life is a wounding experience, isn't it? It's a wounding experience. And so a mother already suffers as she watches or maybe even anticipates the wound that comes to her children by life, from life. But I always tell the mothers, I always say, you know, you got to peer into eternity. And you got to do it with firm faith that the fruits of your labor and your suffering will be realized in that very beautiful beyond the beyond, where all the tears are wiped away. You know, because we're all destined for that. And it's through your suffering, through your labor, through your tears that the tears of your children will be wiped away at the end of all things. Because I truly believe, don't you believe that God really has a, I got this scratch in my throat, so I'm talking and I want to cough at the same time. But do you, I mean, there's something about the heart, the suffering heart of a mother. Am I off? Do you think this is
no,
the case?
No,
yeah. That's true.
I think it's really beautiful how you equate it with the church. I as you're talking, I just see that so clearly. And then you hear how people say, oh, well, you know, the church doesn't honor the woman. The woman is the most honorable. If you look at this, how beautiful this is, and you think about even, you know, the heart of a mother, you know, thinking of it, looking at it as Christ. And it is beautiful. It is.
It's interesting you mention that because the church, interestingly, you know, the church as mother church was in many ways rejected by radical feminism.
And it is exactly why, even when I was thinking along those lines, as what I know about feminism and women that, you know, are all about that, I think even the way, you know, you go back and you think about your mom and dad, and, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, how some would look at that and then they say, that's not the way to be. You know, we can do it ourselves, meaning women, and men, you know, you reject that. And then, and as in my short life, which I'm not saying I'm extremely old, but I've seen how that has come about, and I see the result of it now, how roles are reversed. And I think to myself, there's something wrong with that. I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that women don't have a place, because even looking at the way you're so beautifully describing Mother Church compared to motherhood, I don't think people really see that place so beautifully drawn that way.
Well, I think this is why I don't think I know, because I watched how this began to unravel in the 1970s and 1980s. You know, I was in the seminary, and feminism. Actually, Pope Benedict spoke mm-hmm. about this, about how radical feminism destroyed a lot of religious communities, a lot of women's religious communities, and you know the whole movement towards women priests and all that. There was it was intentional, but a rejection of the unique place that women have in the life of the church.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, what's interesting is when you think about it, what other institution in the history of humanity, in the whole of history, what other institution but the church held women in such a place of great honor and dignity? I mean, all you have to do is look at the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right.
You look at all the women saints. You look at what they did. You know, so when I say that, it's not like when I say honored with great dignity. And by the way, and so as we're talking, is there need for changes and all that? Yeah, certain changes, absolutely. Nobody should be diminished. Nobody should be considered second class or less than. And in fact, Scripture doesn't allow for it, you know. And so where that's just as much as, you know, we racism, it's unfortunately there will be always elements of racism. There will be always certain prejudices, but we have to work against that. And so, yes, of course, there. If a woman was delegated to a second class place, or if she was, you know, but
we don't have to live there.
We don't exactly. That's the thing, because what happens is when the church is masculinized, which is basically that's what constitutes Protestantism,
mm-hmm.
but in Catholicism. Holy Mother Church, because we're born from the waters of baptism, we're nurtured, our spiritual lives are nurtured in and through the church. She's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
She takes care of her children. But within that sacred holy institution we call Mother Church, because she's a spouse to the Lord. This is why we speak of, when you speak of religious, like women religious, the nuns and the sisters, we would say that they are espoused to Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their vocation is to be, they don't marry, they don't have their own children, because they're espoused to the Lord, and their life is given to over to Christ in a way that they would become nurturers of the wider body,
mm-hmm.
you know? So they're teaching, they're ministering in hospitals, or they're working with the poor. You know, this is this very nurturing, which is so beautiful to women,
mm-hmm.
that they nurture life, that they give life, that they safeguard and protect that life. But the religious women were referred to, their vocation was a consecration, being espoused to the Lord. We don't speak of the priest in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
A priest is espoused to the church. Right, in he cleaves to Jesus. His life is to be lived in Christ, espoused and for love of the church. He lays down his life for the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the reason why we hold in high esteem the charism of celibacy,
mm-hmm.
right? But again, it's to be reflected in the lives of all people and in marriages and the mm-hmm. like as well.
And you see it here in the architecture, not only of this church,
yeah.
but other churches, the arches, it's like the maternal.
Oh, sure, I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I've seen Protestant churches where you mentioned, and it's a good point, that it's masculinized. There's a lot, there's a combination here in this church. You have the arches, and the straight
shapes, pillars.
The pillars and all that. And then the Protestant churches, there aren't any arches.
Interesting.
It's very masculinized, but in the Catholic Church.
Well, going back,
that,
we were talking about this the other day, but modern architecture, you know, at least in the 60s and the 70s, 50s, 60s and 70s, it really became so abstract and so concrete, so square.
Square, there you go.
You know, it's the softness and the humanity,
and you even mentioned that at St. Peter's Square, the way it's the architect.
Right, exactly. Bernini's the square is like open arms, receiving, as a mother receives,
nurtures and
exactly
receives.
We got to take a break, Christine. I'm sorry, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back and bring this to hopefully a nice end. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. And again, to support Winds of Change, go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. A dollar, everybody, a dollar. Take just a little bit of time. It doesn't take too much time.
Nope.
And it'll keep us on the air. So, yeah, so we're talking about this. It is kind of fascinating, isn't it? You know, when you think about it, what's funny is, or sad, I guess I should say, is that we're so conditioned so that as we speak about what is natural to women and also what is natural to men and how the two complement each other, and we need that complement. We need the distinctions, absolutely need those distinctions because it's actually necessary for life, I mean, in reality, right?
Mm-hmm.
But our society is so it's so insidious in the way it's that we're bullied. It's amazing to me. We can get into this whole thing about the leftism,
leftists,
liberalism, radical liberalism, leftism, all inclusive and no distinctions and no prejudice, equality and all this kind of stuff. And yet they're the most rigid.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I'm making a judgment here. Most rigid, most, as we're being, when I say we, I mean, if we speak in defense of the distinction, uniqueness and distinction between of man and woman, mm-hmm. and how they complement each other, and that there are certain professions and certain vocations and certain ways of being that are, for the most part, unique to women and unique to men. It goes back to the scouts, you know. They can't. They cave, right?
Yeah.
Because if you bring this up, these distinctions, then and I'll go back, you know, when I was in the seminary, because it was a very big thing, radical feminism and all that kind of stuff, the whole gay movement, all this, and if you stood for, which was by no means rejecting the good that is in all people and the. You know, some people, some women can be a bit more masculine than other women, and some men can be more feminine than other men. But you know, you respect that. You know. Mm-hmm. But to talk about these kind of distinctions, we were bullied. It was really you were bullied into silence because it's got to be. And of course, the big thing was, you know, we got a dialogue. But the moment you go against their narrative,
no dialogue.
Then it's no longer a dialogue. It never was a dialogue. It was a monologue.
Uh-huh.
You do it our way or no way. And if you speak about these distinctions,
sure.
Then you're hateful, you're bigoted, you're prejudicial, you're racist, you're homophobic, Islamophobe, whatever it might be, you know?
Everything.
And so even to talk about it, I find, you know, we're kind of conditioned to be guarded, right? Because we don't want to give the impression that at what point do we get beyond that? I don't know. But so just touching this a little bit today is... I don't know. Is it politically incorrect? I don't know. You hope and pray that someday, you know, we'll begin to rebalance things and maybe it'll be generations from now when people realize, boy, these things have gotten really skewed and this is something that there's something not very healthy about. I mean, my gosh, I deal with young women all the time. We can't find husbands. You know,
Why? Nobody wants to address that. It's always easy to say, oh, well, you're this or you're that. But, hey, look at the beauty of, you know, delving deeper into a situation.
So going back to the church, you know, the fact that, you know, there was a period there where there was many religious professionals, let's say, religious professionals who really, in a radical way, not just shied away, but in a rather hostile way, rejected Mother Church, rejected even the Blessed Virgin Mary. I took a course called Women in the Church or Women in Ministry, and they dealt with, this is back in the late 1970s or the early 1980s, but dealt with pagan, you know, the pagan goddesses and all. I mean, but they did not deal with the Blessed Virgin Mary except to take the Magnificat, her beautiful prayer, and turn it into a revolutionary prayer.
Wow.
You know, that God will bring the mighty down off their thrones and raise up the lowly. So what it was at in their mind, God bringing the men down off their throne and raising up the women. You know, I mean, it's more to it than that, but it was interesting to me that the Blessed Virgin Mary was given so little attention except to make her out to be a revolutionary. And that was very common. That was very common. And we continue to feel the effect of that kind of indoctrination. You know, it's a big way in the society. But anyway, we're out of time. And but it's no insignificant gesture that Jesus entrusted his own mother to the church from the cross, because she, the Blessed Virgin Mary, is a gift that solidifies the family and gives us assurance that we have a mother, the mother of the church and mother of all mothers, who cares for her children and the salvation of her children. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. And so really, a belated Happy Mother's Day to all mothers. We'll be back tomorrow, or Father Coyes will be here tomorrow. We'll be back Thursday. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say?
no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sin?